We are gathered here today for another session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English Language, conducted by Nisaranumane Forest Monastery. Today's session is the 147th session, and as usual, we'd like to welcome Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for this session. We'd also like to welcome everyone who's joining with us today, and everyone who will be live streaming or watching later. Our program, as usual, will commence with in-session practice of mindfulness meditation guided by Panthe, and we will then move on to the talk on today's topic, and lastly, the question and answers and any reports will be presented to Panthe as usual. So to begin today's session, I would like to warmly welcome Panthe Dhamma Kusala Thero to start the in-session practice.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. So today, I thought we can do a small activity which is related to the topic that we are about to discuss. For this, you need a piece of paper and a pen. So if you can quickly gather, we can start the activity. I hope you are ready with the piece of paper and a pen. If you feel like it, you can turn on video and join more actively. We'll start now. Now, for the activity, we are going to write few incidents on this piece of paper, probably during last couple of weeks. Things that happened during last couple of weeks, you can write few things. What are we going to write? We are going to write the things that didn't go according to our plans, that was hurtful for you, right? Maybe you had a certain idea, but it didn't work out. Maybe one of your goals wasn't successful. Maybe somebody, a close person, acted in a way that you didn't like. So these type of incidents hurt us. These type of incidents make us suffer, right? So we are going to list down probably the incidents that happened that affected you during the past couple of weeks. You don't have to write in details, just in a some way you can, you know, create a list of them. I hope the requirement is clear. For anybody who joined late, we are writing few incidents on a piece of paper that happened during past couple of weeks in your own life. In your own life, things that happened. These things, the idea is that these things didn't go according to your expectations, right? Maybe some incident that happened that hurt you, some argument with a family member, or something that you wanted but wasn't successful, right? So the things that didn't work out, that's what we are going to write. You can include as many as you can remember. Maybe like 3, 4, 5, if you can find, would be sufficient. Okay, I think now you should have few things on your piece of paper. Now, think about each of these incidents. And if you can figure it out, just list down why it was hurtful. Maybe it was somebody close to you and you didn't expect such a reaction from them. Maybe it's something that you plan for many months, right? So why such incidents were hurtful, disturbing to you? You can reflect upon each and every incident and figure it out on your own. I'm not sure whether all of you are up to speed with the activity. We took a piece of paper and wrote down a few incidents from past couple of weeks in your own life, things that didn't go according to your expectations. Maybe somebody reacted in a way that you didn't appreciate, a family member, argument, something like that. Then some incident that happened, right? So we were trying to list down few incidents from our own lives that were disturbing, that was hurtful, right? So then, as the second column, we try to reflect upon each and every of these incidents and figure out why it was hurtful, why I was so emotional about it, right? That you can list down if you can figure it out. Then thirdly, is there a way that you can be glad about this incident? Right? Maybe it taught you a new lesson. It was a teaching, something like that. So is there a way that you can be glad about what happened? Or is it still disturbing? Is it still hurtful? Even when you reflect after a few weeks. Those are the three columns and that's it. That's all you have to complete. In a way, the third option is more like playing a glad game. Remember Pollyanna's glad game? Similar thing we are trying to do, applying practically in our lives. How can I be glad about this incident? Probably not easy. Okay, once you are done, you can use the Zoom hand and you can share a couple of things from your list. Incident and second column, that why it was hurtful, then the third one, playing a glad game. You don't have to mention the incident in vivid detail, just be discreet about it, and you can share the other two columns that you learned from it. Okay, Chamari, yes.
Thank you, Bhante. I couldn't actually remember many things, so I don't know whether I'm losing my memory or, yeah, I'm not sure. But then a few things came up. At work, I was working with a couple, as in a married couple, and I couldn't manage their conflict, and it wasn't hurtful, but I think I felt a little bit like useless. I don't have my skills in this situation, which I've been in this situation with others before. And I've managed, so obviously there was an expectation that this time also I'd be able to manage. So it felt like not so hurtful, but uncomfortable. Then there was another one where I bought an online piece of clothing and they sent me the wrong size. And as this is a few days before I'm, you know, going away, and I'm like, oh gosh, this, you know, I really now need to attend to it. So it was the energy and the suffering that it entails to try and resolve it. So if I go into the reflection for the first one, the difficulty, I just realized it was the expectation that I thought the skills will be, skills will remain for each of the new situations that come up. This is a different couple. I'm expecting the conflict to be managed using my existing skills. So maybe there's something else that I need to learn. Maybe go on a training course or something like that, or take it to supervision. And this happens. It's happening in personal life. So that's what I'm thinking. The second one, again, mistakes happen, and of however many times I've ordered things online, this is like, you know, maybe less than 5%. And yeah, it takes time to resolve these things. They're asking us to send pictures of it and then send another email. I'm doing those things and I'm just like, okay, be more careful next time when you're ordering things. Know that this is not just for me. Everybody experiences these things when wrong things are sent. That's me, Bhante.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Now, first of all, that you couldn't remember many things, so it's a good thing, actually. Not that you are losing a memory or anything. In the sense of the practice, it's a good thing. You know, if our mindfulness is strong, we'll face conflict, but still they won't last, you know, the memory won't last. And within a couple of days, within few hours, it's forgotten, right? Your energy is not any longer wasted for that incident, right? So it's a good thing in the sense of the practice. That you can't remember many things that went wrong, right? Memory, it is somewhat related to the memory in the sense that, you know, remembering the things that went wrong, remembering all the issues with other people, all those things. Memory in that sense is basically a representation of unmindfulness. When we are unmindful, the memory creates, you know, the mind is chatting about it, you know, creating additional stuff, building upon it. So that type of a process is there in us. That's how the memory works. More you are unmindful, more you'll remember such incidents, a longer list you'll have, right? So in that sense, we can take it as a good sign, good omen, that it's harder to remember things that went wrong, right? So that's a good one. That's a plus one. And regarding the first incident, I think that's a very nice one. First one is that you felt useless, right, in that situation. You expected you to perform much better, but somehow it didn't work out that way, right? So definitely there is a learning process, you know, a lesson here, right? So you can develop some new skills. And in a way, it's good that this incident challenged you. So you can grow in your profession, right? So that's the very idea. Even in my list, I had a similar listing to your first one, right? So this is Vassa period, right? Vassa started few weeks back. So far, I think half of it is already gone, right? Somehow, this was compared to the previous ones wasn't so successful in a sense. You know, usually Vassa period is dedicated to meditation and practice. That's the very idea of staying put in a place for 3 months during the rains retreat and focus on your meditation. But during this period, I didn't feel that it was so successful as the earlier ones. So in a way, I felt useless in the community, in a way, right? And things don't go according to the way that we expect or according to the way that it is supposed to go, right? It doesn't matter whether the Vassa period is for meditation, that's the focus. You realize sometimes it doesn't work, right? So I too can develop certain new skills in such a situation, right? So that I remembered when you mentioned about your first incident. Thank you for sharing. Panchani, yes.
Hello, Bhante. Teruan Saranai. Hello, everybody. Since leaving Sri Lanka, it's been hurtful not having any communication with my husband at all. And also being in an environment full of people, to be all by myself with no one to talk to apart from my sister and few company one day, has been very hurtful. On the plus side, I fixed my own laptop when it broke. Didn't know I could do that. I did a lot of gardening, so that was really good. What else? He's been having an eye treatment at Vedamadura, so I'm glad that it's going well for him. Yeah.
Is there a way that you can be glad about the things that didn't go well?
Glad that I'm not bursting out with heavy emotions like I used to back last year. Glad that there's not proliferation. I feel it. I mean, I really strongly feel it, but in meditation, it all goes away. So glad about that. But I still can't catch the thoughts earlier not to suffer early enough.
Okay, so that's a good reflection. Now, heavy emotions, they are not so strong, and you know, you are not bursting out anymore. But try to see whether it's forceful or whether it's natural. If it is natural, it's fine. If it is forceful, I think bursting out would be better, letting it out, and you know, letting it out would help if it is forceful. Otherwise, we are building a certain kind of a pressure again and again, and sometimes it bursts in ways that we wouldn't prefer, right? So that's something you have to see in your practice, and meditation helps. So that's a positive sign. So you know, it depends on the situation. Sometimes during the extreme situations, it's okay that we burst out. It's okay that we feel sad. It's okay that we feel all these things, right? The idea is to somehow face them and, you know, learn something, improve your practice and come out better from the other end. That's the very idea. So things happen. That's life. Sonali, yes.
Unlike many other people who didn't have much eventful weeks, I had quite a few incidents, events happened. I would say negative incidents that happened in my life. It is very unusual that it all happened in the last few weeks, but I am glad it's kind of over and I'm working my way out of these incidents now. I mean, nothing's to do with anyone's health, which or death, which is a positive. in a way. So there was a car accident that, well, minor car accidents, I should say. It wasn't quite major, but there was other parties involved. There is an accident with a neighbor's property. And there is also a school's plan didn't go according to plan for my daughter's school. So there was three major incidents that happened in my life. So with that, I know some of them are to do with expectations, like especially with my daughter's school was expectation. It is how we expected things to go and it didn't go as planned, and also to do with lack of planning for a backup. That was another thing. With in terms of accidents, you can't plan for them. There is insurance for that. I know that I didn't react in an extreme manner because there were so many things happening at the same time. And I found it very difficult to concentrate on meditation. However, the little meditation I did got me through all of that. So in a way, I'm glad it's all over. I have learned a lot from these experiences. And I am somewhat an expert on home insurance at the moment. And I managed to agree out of insurance and dealt with it with the car insurance. And my daughter did find a school that she liked eventually. So it's all kind of on the other side of it. So I'm glad we're on the other side of it, and the way I behaved and the way I reacted to some of them, I'm glad about that. And I've learned so much. I know so much about finding secondary schools. I can advise some people about these now because I'm so much more wiser than I was with each of these experiences, because I can advise anyone who's in the similar situation now. So that's my positive of that.
So you can start a consulting firm on these subjects. Yes. So that's a very nice way to put it into the positive side, right? Now, what you mentioned during past couple of weeks, so many things, so many negative things, so many unexpected things happened, right? So it says that when it rains, it pours, right? So sometimes that's the reality, right? Those times, they allow you to grow in wisdom a lot. Not just in knowledge, if you know the practice, they allow you to grow in wisdom, right? So those periods, maybe it lasts for like a couple of weeks, couple of months, sometimes even extreme situations, couple of years. But still, if you face them with the idea of the practice, with courage, if you face them, then you'll come out of these things much wiser, right? So that's for sure. Can you imagine so many things happening during, you know, couple of weeks? But it happens. It happens. When it rains, it pours, right? So that's the very idea. Even in my life, I felt, especially during the part that, you know, becoming a monk and the process and everything, it feels like I'm fine for many months, but suddenly everything goes wrong. Maybe like for a couple of weeks or so, everything goes wrong and you feel like utterly lost in that type of a situation, right? But it's the nature. That's how it works, right? These bad karma, let's say, they await the proper timing, you know, not during the comfortable times, but when you're down. When you're down, it'll hit you, right? So that's how it works. That's the process, right? Even nowadays, it's less frequent, but when things come, they come as a group, right? So that's the process. That's how it works. They won't wait for the comfortable times. They won't wait for the peaceful times. Instead, they surround you in your most fragile situations. That's what I have experienced, but with we are using our practice now. We are using these situations to improve it. So that will grow. That's why it'll, these situations will allow you to grow in wisdom. Grow in wisdom, right? Then, so many things, so many difficulties, so many issues, so many problems happening at the same time, in a way allows you to have a totally different outlook towards these things. Let's say if you have only one problem, then you might spend thinking, wondering, worrying, so a whole lot on that single incident. But we have many balls in the air, right? We are juggling with many balls, right? When that happens, in a way, it helps you to, you know, customize your energy in different ways, you know, not focusing on every day, one single thing, but we have many things to focus. And in a way, in the practice, in this practice sense of, in the practice sense, it helps. It helps, right? That chaos, it helps to grow in wisdom, right? We have so many things, so many issues. Just keep them. Don't try to solve them. Don't try to, you know, get rid of them. Instead, we have many things, many problems, and we are living among the many problems. That's a very nice way to grow in wisdom, improve your practice. Just accepting that chaos, right? That accepting it, it's totally a new level, a different level of the meditation. Usually the beginners, they only feel the comfortable part, you know, as meditation, peaceful part as meditation. That's how they feel. But the matured practitioners, they know sometimes the utter chaos. That's the best opportunity for your meditation to grow if you have the correct attitude. If you accept that situation, if you accept that meditation session and allow the process to continue, you are seated for 1 hour, walking for 1 hour in utter chaos. But still the practice grows in such sessions in a totally new level, right? So that's the feedback I get when I hear your comments. I think we have one more hand. We are already past time, but we'll take a little time. Ashni, yes.
Sometimes I have applied for a 10-day Nisanamani retreat on last 20th, which was going to commence on last 20th and failed to go there. And I was very hurt because I thought I would be able to go. But later, I managed to do a remote retreat at home, joining the same retreat remotely from home. And the other thing is, my loving aunt went for a retreat at Pirisarnaramaya. So I was sad because I had nobody to chat during those days. And later, I was happy because I could find enough time to meditate as there was no disturbance. That's all.
Okay, thanks for sharing. I think your auntie might be also having a good time, loving time, because you are not there to disturb her, right? That's also another way to look at it. She is in a retreat. So you can be glad about her, that she is having her quiet time and practicing. And opportunities, the job opportunities you apply, but they didn't work. That's fine. You can apply for a new one. And maybe those online opportunities are there. So that's how the world works nowadays. Sometimes there are online opportunities. Sometimes you can go and physically do a job. Whatever the way, whatever the opportunity that you get, you can exploit. That's the very idea. So good luck with your process. Yasanta, it says. Yasanta. Yes, you can unmute now. Yes, we can hear.
I have a question.
Okay.
When watching TV, I get crying when they... I
when they are
see
sad.
someone is sad, sad.
You cry, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then I can't see that they are suffering.
You can see that they are suffering.
Yeah.
Okay.
Palen does it again. This is the first day. Bante.
Sorry?
Then that's why that's the question I.
Okay, right. Thanks for sharing. Now, that's how our mind is. We get emotional even over the things that we see on TV, right? When something bad happens, for example, when somebody cries or when something goes wrong, when we see things on news, the people who suffer due to certain things, due to wars, due to natural disasters, so our mind gets sad for them.
Yeah.
It's natural. It is natural. It's good in a way. You have empathy towards them. It's a good quality in our mind, right? That we can feel others' pain. Our mind is getting sad for them. So in a way, it's a good quality. But in a different point of view, it might ruin our life as well. Right, because we are always sad because of the things that we see on TV. Some of them are paid actors. Some of the people on TV, they act very nice. They are paid actors, but still we get sad. Right.
Yeah.
So, in a way, it's a good quality. That's empathy. In a way, it's bad. So you have to have the proper balance. That's what's important, right? How to have the proper balance? Just be mindful. Practice mindfulness or walk, sit daily at least 15, 10, 20 minutes. Daily mindful practice. And with that practice, our mindfulness grows. And as a result, we can have the proper balance. In a way, it's good to have empathy if you know how to keep it under control. If you don't know it, that very empathy will ruin your life. You are sad because of the weather. You are sad because of somebody else. You are sad because of a thing that you saw on TV. Right? That way it can ruin our life if you don't know the proper balance. So what I suggest is just continue with your mindfulness practice, and as a result you'll get the skills necessary to properly balance your empathy. Thank you for sharing. Okay, I think that's it for today. We are 15 minutes past our usual time. And Sonali will finish the activity with this.
Right, thank you, Bhante. So next on the agenda is our Dhamma talk this week on this week's topic. This week's topic is the continuation from last week, which is happiness. So I invite Bhante to start the talk.
Okay, everyone. So this topic we discussed, we touched it last week. We are continuing with the same topic, and we'll see how we can relate it more to the practice that we are doing and how we can find true happiness in our life, which is important, right? Most of us, we deserve happiness. We deserve happiness and peace in our life, but we don't get it. We work so hard for it. We try to, you know, achieve that goal, try to achieve that purpose. But at the end of the day, many things go in vain and we are utterly sad, uncomfortable and, you know, suffering in our lives. So it's important that we know the proper way to find happiness and peace in our lives. So if you remember last week's discussion, we discussed about, you know, having many goals, having expectations, purpose in life, right? Many goals, many expectations, purpose. These things usually create chaos in our lives, because when you have many goals, when they don't go according to plans, you suffer. You start worrying, you start complaining, you start seeing faults, right? That's what happens. Even on the list that you have today from the activity, the things that you have experienced during past couple of weeks, the reasoning behind feeling sad, the reasoning behind feeling disturbed, the reasoning behind your suffering is you had different expectations. You didn't expect things to go this way. You didn't expect people to react this way. So as a result, we suffer, right? So that's the very source of all the suffering, sadness, fear that we are experiencing. We have so many expectations. We have so many goals. When they don't go according to the plans, according to the expectations, we suffer, right? And again and again, we complain. Again and again, we try to find the reason that they went wrong. We try to blame other people. So this way, we face such situations, right? But it's not helping. It's not helping, right? So the very idea of this practice is not to go after so many goals, expectations, not to be happy when those expectations are achieved, not to be happy when those goals are achieved. Instead, can we be happy in the present moment? That's the very idea. You can have your goals. We are not against that. We are not suggesting not to have any goals, expectations. That's not the way. But instead, have expectations, have goals, but still you are happy in the present moment. If you have that happiness, then no incident can take that happiness away. If you expect you to be happy in the future, when those goals are achieved, when those expectations are done, then that future day won't ever come. If you're happy, it'll be in the present, not in some distant future, right? So that's the very idea. That's the very mindful practice, mindfulness practice that we are doing, right? Can we accept the present moment? Can we be happy and peaceful in it? That's the very idea of this practice. So many people, they don't have this quality in their minds. Maybe they have trained their minds differently. For the entire lifetime, they have trained themselves in a different way, right? Maybe our parents are at fault for this. Maybe the society is at fault for this, right? When we are born into this world as a child, when we grow up, when we face the society, when we deal with it, when we deal with our parents, teachers, always they show us expectations. If you behave this way, I'll be happy as a parent, as a mother. If you achieve these goals, I'll be happy as a teacher. If you have these expectations, if you have these goals, if you have these luxuries, if you achieve them, then the society will be praising you. That's the process that we are growing. You know, that's how we spend most of our lives. So it's natural that our mind is not happy in the present moment. Instead, it'll find a distant future day. When you achieve these goals, I'll be happy. When you achieve these expectations, I'll be happy. Till that day, I'm going to suffer. Till that day, I'm going to, you know, work 24/7 trying to get there. That's the life that we are living. That's the mind that we have. But even as a beginner, we can gradually start our practice. Gradually be comfortable at least for like 10-15 minutes in the present moment. Can you do that? Be comfortable in the present moment at least for like 10-15 minutes. Do the mindful walking session, do the mindful sitting session daily, 15 minutes, and see whether you can be comfortable there. For 15 minutes, can you be comfortable? Can you be happy and peaceful in the present moment? For 15 minutes, can you walk and be happy in that walking, peaceful in that walking? For 15 minutes, can you sit and be happy, peaceful in that sitting session, right? That way, gradually, you can change this mind. Change this trained behavior. Gradually, you have to approach it. If you directly come to a residential retreat, 5 days retreat as a beginner, it might not work well, right? Your mind will go crazy, right? Because all the life, you have trained it differently. You have trained it to go after these expectations. Now, how can you be happy in the present moment suddenly? How can it accept the present moment suddenly? It won't work. But gradually, you can approach it. Gradually, you can improve it, right? Start with daily formal practice. That's what I'm saying. Remember to start with daily formal practice, 10, 15, 20 minutes daily as a beginner. That's the minimum time for an adult, right? Do the walking session, do the sitting session. That's probably 40 minutes per day, right? Then go on with your life. No need to change it suddenly. Just continue with your life. But make sure that you are practicing daily for some time, for like 40 or so minutes. And try to maintain it for a few months. Daily 40 minutes I'm sacrificing for my own peace and happiness. Is it worth sacrificing 40 minutes daily? That's a funny question. Right? Most of us would say no. It doesn't worth. It's not worth. Right? That's how most people would say. That's how most people would react to such a question. But if you want the peace, if you want the happiness, then 40 minutes, it's nothing. Right? It's the bare minimum that you can do. That way, if you continue for a few weeks, few months, then you realize even in day-to-day life, you can be happy and peaceful. There are moments, there are patches. Even in day-to-day life, you can be happy and peaceful there. Maybe enjoying a meal mindfully, you know, drinking a cup of tea, going somewhere, going on a walk early morning. Those moments, gradually your mind is happy and peaceful in the moment. You have no expectations from that moment. You are not trying to achieve something. You are simply there, right? You are not trying to achieve something. You are not trying to get anything. Instead, your mind is happy and peaceful in the present moment. Think about that happiness. That's not by achieving something. That's not by getting something. Instead, simply you are mindful and simply you are happy and peaceful there in the present moment, right? So gradually these events in your day-to-day life, even you can accept them, you can be comfortable in them, be mindful in them, happy and peaceful in the present moment. So you can see it starts with the formal practice, but gradually it moves towards the daily life. I'm not saying the full day. Probably there are occasions, you know, you are working, you are busy, you are talking to many people. So you have all these thoughts, expectations, goals in your mind. That's fine. That's fine. You don't have to change it so suddenly. Instead, try to have certain moments in your life that you are simply enjoying the present moment. Drinking a cup of tea. Can you simply enjoy 5 minutes with that tea? Eating a meal, probably a homemade meal you have cooked for your family, can you simply enjoy it for a few minutes? Right? Going on a morning walk, can you simply enjoy 30-40 minutes with that? That's the very idea. That's the very idea. So most people, they don't have this quality. Even in the morning work, they talk about, you know, while having the morning walk, they think about the office matters. They think about the goals. They think about the things to achieve in the day, right? That's how they spend time. Having their meals, they plan the next appointment, right? That's how people function. They think that in that process, they can find happiness. In that process, they can find peace. That's what they think. I heard about this very nice story about Picasso. He was painting something, and there was this person who was watching him. For like 2 hours, this person was sitting there and watching Picasso painting something, right? Then after watching for 2 hours, that person asked from Picasso, what's the purpose of your drawing? What are you trying to, you know, achieve in this? What's the purpose of your drawing? And then the Picasso replied, I thought maybe you can tell me. You have been watching this for like 2 hours now. Maybe you can tell me the purpose of this painting, right? So that's a funny incident that we can relate to the idea that we are discussing, right? He's simply enjoying the process of painting. He doesn't have this end goal or a purpose. He's simply happy and, you know, enjoying the process. That's how the real art is created, right? Not trying to, you know, create a masterpiece. That's not how it works, right? Most of us, we try to be artists by trying to create a masterpiece. You know, I'll do this type of a thing and it'll be world famous. That's the idea, but that's not art. That's not how things are created. Instead, if you enjoy the present moment, if you appreciate that, if you are happy and peaceful in it, then that's how you can create real art. You know, I saw this very nice YouTube video. A painter, I think she's from Europe. I can't remember. She's you know, about to paint something, but still not in the mood. You know. So doing various things, trying to, you know, trying to get to the mood, you know, petting the dog that's next to her, right? Spending so much time till she's able to appreciate the process, you know, letting go of all the worries, letting go of all the ideas, expectations in the mind, simply being there with the process. That's how you can really create a masterpiece. That's how you can really enjoy the life, right? So that's the very idea of our practice as well. Most people, they come and ask, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of this practice? Similar to the question that was asked from Picasso, right? What's the purpose of life? They might come and ask, right? What are we trying to achieve? Most people, they ask. They start with that question. Even here, we do certain duties. Most of them are silly duties, you know, doing something for the sake of doing. Right? So even the yogis, they are a part of it. They have this 1 hour, working hour. And we get together, we go in, divide into groups and somehow do certain things. So all the newcomers, they usually ask this question. Right, but what's the purpose are we trying to achieve here? That question they ask, right? Why are we carrying these things to that other place? What are we trying to build? Right, because this is an utterly silly thing that we are doing, just exhausting ourselves in our bodies, sweating, exercising. that type of approach, but they ask, what's the purpose we are trying to achieve? What's the goal by doing this task? What are we trying to build? So it's a funny question that I get to answer most of the time. I say that we do this for the sake of doing. Or sometimes I say, you wait and see, we'll create some kind of a gigantic thing. You'll wait and see what we are creating, right? Because most of them, they are not ready to accept that we are just simply doing it for the sake of doing it. We have no real purpose. But at the end of the day, somebody might see a purpose there, right? They have done this project. At the end of the day, there's a purpose, it seems. But in the process, that wasn't the real idea. You know, simply doing something and it comes good. It comes out good, you know, as a project, as a something that the purpose was achieved. But in the process, that wasn't the real idea, right? So that way, if you can approach life, it's much better, I guess. I don't know whether you are ready to accept it, whether you are ready to approach life that way, but simply enjoying the life. There's no real purpose. Even the practice, as long as you have a purpose in the practice, you are not properly practicing. Even the mindful walking, sitting, let's say, being mindful, as long as you have a purpose in it, that's not the proper practice. Right? Beginners, they have a purpose. That's fine. It's always, there is a learning curve, right? So you start with a purpose. Okay, I'm trying to be mindful here. I'll catch many mindful steps. I'll catch many mindful breaths. That's how the beginners start, right? But when they continue for a few weeks, few months, they realize at the end of the day, I have spent 1 hour walking, 1 hour sitting, but I haven't achieved anything. There wasn't really a purpose in that 1 hour of sitting or walking. That's the best practice that you can have. Most people say that I sat for 1 hour, but after getting up, I couldn't recall much. I know I was mindful, things came and went, but now I can't reflect upon them. Now I can't recall what happened. So you were simply there with the process, right? Your mind wasn't thinking much. Your mind wasn't trying to create a goal or a purpose out of it. Instead, your mind was present and, you know, happy and peaceful in that process, right? In that walking session, in that sitting session, right? So that's the very approach, the best way to practice. But sometimes it takes time to get there. You know, we start with a purpose, simply let go of it and simply walk for 1 hour, witnessing the process, simply enjoying the process. Sit for 1 hour, witnessing the process, enjoying the process. That is the very practice. So most people, they ask, what's the purpose of this practice? We give them various reasoning. We give them certain, you know, scientific data just to encourage them. But then at the end of the day, if you have a purpose, then you are still caught in the same process. Many people come and ask, what's the purpose of this life? As long as you are trying to find a purpose, you haven't found peace in this life. You haven't achieved the thing that you were supposed to achieve in this life. Still, you are finding a purpose. Still, you are finding a reason, right? There was this very nice analogy of a sick person, right? When you are sick, you go to the doctor and ask, oh, what's wrong with me? Doctor, please tell me what's wrong with me, right? When you are sick only, you go and ask. But when you are healthy, do you do the same thing? When you are healthy, do you go to a doctor and ask, doctor, why am I healthy? Right? That question is no longer valid when you are healthy, right? Only when you are sick, you'll go ask that stupid question, right? What's wrong with me? You'll go and ask. Why? Because you are sick. But when you're healthy, that question is no longer valid. Same goes for the practice. Same goes for the life. We are in a way sick. We are suffering with a sickness, right? As long as we are suffering, we'll try to find the reasoning behind it. We'll try to go and ask, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with life? What's wrong? What's the purpose of this life? All these questions come because we are sick. In our minds, we are sick. Even the Buddha gave the same idea. He's saying that you are sick and you take it as your proper, the correct way, you know, the proper state of your mind. You take this sickness as yourself. What will happen? Then you are suffering because you are sick. You don't know that you are sick. You haven't experienced anything beyond that. And you take this sickness as real you. That's why people have so many questions. That's why people are trying to find purpose. They go to a doctor. They ask, why am I sick? What's wrong with me? They ask, right? Same goes for the life. We have all these questions when we are sick. But when we are healthy, that question is no longer valid. Those questions, they lose meaning in them, right? So that's what happens to a meditator. Gradually, they become healthy in their mind. With the support of the practice, gradually they become healthy and they no longer have the need to ask that stupid question. Right? A healthy person, they don't go to a doctor and ask, what's wrong with me? Same goes for a healthy person. They won't ask, what's the purpose of this life? Why am I suffering? What did I do to deserve this? All those questions, they lose meaning in them, right? When you are truly healthy, when you are truly appreciating the present moment. So that's the very idea of this practice. You are sick. This practice will help you to become healthy again. You know, it takes time. It takes effort, of course. But it's an effort that's worth taking. Why? At the end of the day, you'll be happy and peaceful in this life. You won't have no more doubts, questions, purposes left in order for you to be happy and peaceful, right? So I think that happiness is important for all of us. That's why in the post it says, happiness, it's not a luxury. Instead, it's a necessity, right? In order for us to live peacefully, in order for us to breathe, we need that happiness. We need that peace in our mind. Otherwise, we are all the time suffering, complaining, worrying. That's what we do, right? So try to achieve it. You deserve it. That we have to mention. You deserve to be happy and peaceful in your mind. You deserve to live this life in a much better way. You deserve to, you know, enjoy this world that we are living in. All right? So that's the idea I want to give today. Thank you for listening. And I hope this topic was helpful.
Thank you, Bhante. So next on the agenda, since we are running a little bit behind, we'll quickly start. It's a question and answer session, and I will invite Tharindu to do today's present reports to Bhante.
Right. Thank you, Sonari, Avasarai Bhante. So we are going to do the Q&A session. First up, I think we have some instructions to share with the participants. So, right, well, Sonal is sharing that since So this is the guide for the beginners, actually. So I'm sure there are some people who come to the, who join the program today itself. So this is for them. And I'm sure the rest of you all know, very well aware of these guidelines. So you can actually watch our videos on YouTube. We have a wonderful YouTube channel and there's a lot of information there for beginners. So mindful walking and sitting, that's the main dose we recommend for all. So, sorry, I lost the screen. And so walking and sitting, like that is the main course. So you can take a few minutes to walk and take a few minutes to sit down mindfully. And if I can see the screen, Sonari, that will be helpful. I still can't see it. Right. Okay. So for this too, you can allocate a small time from your daily schedule and spend some time practicing walking and sitting. So we say, like, you know, at least 2 hours for each. Usually when you go to Nisarnavani, we practice 1 hour walking and practice 1 hour sitting, but you don't have to start with that. You can start with baby steps and keep on increasing. Then this is the most important part. You can write down your experience as a report. So getting the exact details out is important. Sometimes we wander and, you know, start writing the things that we didn't felt. So it's getting what you felt on the paper, that's important. So when you are walking, for an example, you can keep an eye, like be aware of your sensations, what you feel, and what you feel when you're keeping your left foot, right foot likewise, and how you feel when your body is moving. So things like that can be important details, and Bhante can guide you if you can give them right. So then we can do mindful sitting. We always recommend to do a mindful sitting after doing practicing mindful walking. So even mindful sitting also, you can closely monitor the way your breath comes in and goes out, and how you felt and how long it went inside you and things like that. I don't want to give tips so you will start looking for them. It has to be unique for you. So you have to feel, and it has to be your feelings and it has to be your experience. So after you write down these things, you can send these reports to us via Google form or an email, and we are happy to present it to Bhante during the session. So I went quickly because we are running out of time, I guess, Sonali. Sorry for running quickly. So I think we can start with the reports. Swaminathan, I have received a report. I'd like to read it to you now. Right. Bhante, since returning from Sri Lanka back to the usual quietness of home, there has been moments of apathy due to lack of activity in the mind. Sometimes it is making me not wanting to actively do things such as planning the lessons for school, which I really love to do once. Most of the time, I just sit in the silence or listen to Dhamma talk, but feel complete bliss at these times. At times, desires arise, such as to watch a favorite movie or listen to a favorite song. Then I turn the TV on and put on the movie, but very soon I'm utterly bored of it and soon switch to Dhamma talk or go for a walk. Long walks and gardening has helped a lot with the boredom in the mind. But at times there is a sense of isolation and feel some lack which I can't identify. The heavy emotions that I felt over a loved one is now replaced by a really dull feeling. But at the same time, there is so much less suffering in the mind compared to before. At times, I am really enjoying the lack of proliferation in the mind. When mistakes happen, I can forgive and forget much quicker than before now. And mistakes does not lead to proliferation. Some guidance over how to cope with this dullness in the mind due to lack of activity would be Very much appreciative, Bhante. Much merits to you.
Okay, that's nice. Good to hear that you are experiencing such a state in your mind, right? It comes as a result of many weeks, many months of practice, that's for sure, right? But the problem is, are we ready to accept this? Our mind, the worldly mind, is it ready to accept it? That's the question that's asked in your report, right? You feel this feeling of apathy in you, and it continues. And how can I accept it? There's nothing to cope here, right? Simply just accepting it would be the way. But if you are not ready, we'll find ways to cope, right? So that's why they say it's more generous to accept a present than give a one, right? You can give a present, but if the person is not ready to accept it, right? So that's the question that's asked in your report as well. You are given a valuable present by the practice, and are you ready to accept it? That's the question that's asked, right? So it takes time, that I'll tell you. It takes time for you to accept this this new emotional state that you feel, or lack of emotions, thoughts that you feel, right? This mental state, it takes time for us to adjust to it. It takes time for us to accept it. That is true, right? So what you can do is you can take it slow and gradually go through the process. When you go through this process for a few months, then you realize now my mind is appreciating it more and more, right? The things like gardening, walks, they really help, right? So those activities, they don't demand that much attention. They don't demand that much thinking. Simply, you just do something, right? So that's why they help with this type of mental state, right? Gardening, it's simply enjoying doing that activity. Nothing much to think or plan. Going on a walk goes the same, right? So it's good. It's good. Those processes help. And gradually you realize even the work matters. Initially you feel this shock that you don't feel like spending time on them. It might threaten your career, right? That's how you feel. But gradually you find the proper balance, right? You find the proper balance, and it takes time for you to, you know, accept this mental state and find the proper balance there, right? And when you find the proper balance, you will be able to focus and, you know, do your things. It won't change, but still, you are not worrying, you are not thinking so much as you used to do, right? So be patient with you. Just go through the process, and it will help you to accept this mental state more and more. Enjoy such activities as walking, gardening. They will help, and gradually you realize that your mind is accustomed to a different state. Now we are comfortable. We remember only that sick state. You know, the sickness I was talking about, that sick state of mind, we are used to, but we are not used to the healthy states of mind. When the healthy states come, we feel this lack, right? We feel this isolation. We are not used to these healthy states, right? So it takes time. It takes time. Even your body changes in the process. Your brain changes in the process. It takes time, right? let's say a monastery, living an isolated life as a monk or a nun, it takes so much time to get accustomed to it, because we are used to that chaos, we are used to that those troubles, we are used to all the people. Now living alone, you feel isolated, you feel this lack in you, right? But if you go through the process gradually, when you go for a few months, few years, you realize now your mind is accustomed to the new state, right? Now you feel comfortable in it. Now that worldly state feels strange. The earlier state, it feels strange now, right? So that's the process. We are used to being sick, but we don't know the healthy state, right? So in this process, you'll get to know the healthy state. You'll get accustomed to it. That's what I have to say.
Thank you, Bhante. I have received another report. Okay. Dervan Sanai Bhante. Once I presented the experience of self-hatred thoughts, within bracket suicidal, with the guidance of Bhante's feedback, I kept practicing. So here is the observation. Things arise and fade away without labels as thought or sound, etc. Excuse me. Like something away happening. Still, the presence of so-called thought can be noticed slightly. If mentioned in an example, it's like this. Not a full picture of the dog appears, but from his tail can be identified that it's a dog. Such a thing with this thought. Same time, still can be noticed very slight blurred discomfort, if not dislike, of arising of the thought as it is. So aware of that and observe discomfort as it is in its blur mode. Same time, it is like there are two options, choices. I can stay without even noticing or observing, like no care. Still, thoughts, presence is noticed. Second option is to be aware of the presence of the thought and the discomfort. Then what happens is that thought disappears from one glance, like when light came, the dark vanishes. Kept observing these two options. Found that if it goes to observe, there is an urge to remove the presence of thought. So, found that it is better to let those be there and stay with no care. One thing more, there is a discouragement to express these thoughts. It's not because others can judge on what is presented and think of me. Initially that was there, felt not to reveal. Noticing such a thing was there, an urge came as reveal it in a suitable audience. So it was expressed in reports despite the urge not to reveal it. But doing that, I noticed that the power of those thoughts reduced. Currently, there is a tiredness of converting everything to words while things are fading without labels. It's like this labeling process is tiring one. Bhante, please guide. Dervan Saranai.
Okay, we are happy to hear the progress that you have made. Now, these intrusive thoughts, they are not foreign to any of us. We all have such thoughts in us. It's just a matter of, you know, whether we are ready to deal with them or whether we prefer being ignorant. It's only a matter of that. If somebody here says that I have no intrusive thoughts, then that's ignorance talking, right? So don't think that it's only personal to you. No, instead we all have our own unique intrusive thoughts. Maybe it's not the same as you for somebody else, but they too will have their own unique intrusive thoughts. So all of us, we have these intrusive thoughts. So in a way, we can be happy about your report because you are less ignorant towards them and you are ready to accept and deal with them. That's the superpower. That's the superpower we get. That's how we can, you know, really grow in the practice. Otherwise, being ignorant and saying that they are not there, I'm fine, it doesn't work, right? So with these thoughts, it's easier to be ignorant. Into a certain level, it's fine because, you know, sometimes so many thoughts are there, we can't address each and every one of them. If we try that, then it's a waste of time, waste of energy. But when it passes a certain level, when it becomes a real hindrance, then it's time for you to address it. It's time for you to deal with it. Now, earlier, these thoughts were vivid and colorful, right? Now you are saying it's not so vivid, not so colorful. Instead, just simply by noticing the tail, you know that the dog is there, right? So that's the idea given in your report, right? What I would like to say is that the entire dog is there, right? You only notice the tail because you have lost your interest in it, right? Don't think that only the tail is there. No, the dog is there, the entire dog is there, but now you only notice the tail because you have lost interest in them. Right? They have lost the power that they possessed over you. These thoughts, they have lost their power that they possessed over you. That's why you only notice the tail. Right? So now they are not so powerful as they used to be. So that's the very idea of the practice. If you try to get rid of them, if you try to suppress them, they become more and more powerful in the process. That's what happens to most people, right? Even in psychology, they have this idea of paradoxical intention, right? Instead of, you know, trying to get rid of them, a paradoxical intention was introduced, you know. I'll tell you this now. In meditation, we say, somebody is coming and complaining, Bante, I'm getting so many thoughts, I can't be mindful because of the thoughts. How can I get rid of the thoughts? They would come and ask, how to apply paradoxical intention here? You tell them, okay, don't get rid of the thoughts. Next time, go to a sitting session and try to think as many thoughts as possible. Right? So new assignment was given, right? Now, don't forget mindfulness. Next time, go and try to think as many thoughts as possible. What will happen? Now you struggle to find thoughts. Why? Because no longer that suppression is there, right? So same goes for especially with these thoughts, intrusive thoughts. As long as we suppress these emotions, thoughts, they gain more and more power in the process, right? What you have to do is acceptance. Acceptance is not easy when it comes to these thoughts, emotions, that I tell you, right? That's true, right? Acceptance, it's not easy when it comes to these thoughts, emotions, but gradually we develop it. Still, you feel that urge to get rid of them. In your report that you mentioned it, still there is this urge, you know, you don't like this thought, you don't like this emotion. There's this urge to get rid of it. But that urge too will disappear one day when you keep on observing. Now the thought is there, the urge to get rid of it is there. It's still that it's lower. Now it's not so powerful, but still there. The tail is there, right? Then the urge to get rid of that tail. The tail of that urge is also there, right? So that's how it is, right? Just go through the process. Go through the process. I know being aware is harder. Being ignorant is easier, right? Most of our lives we have chosen the second one, being ignorant, because it is easier. Our family problems, we kept being ignorant. And did it work out? Most of the time, no, right? The issues that we had in our lives, we we practiced ignorance, wishing that they would go away. Did they go away? No. The fears that you had in your life, we kept ignorant, wishing that they would never happen. But worse fears were realized. Worse fears, not the simple ones, were realized, right? So that's the process. So being ignorant, it is easier in the short term, but you'll get more and more trouble in long term. So that's why awareness is preferred. The light is preferred than darkness. Although it would be hard, still the light is preferred. So gradually we move towards light from the darkness. We were in darkness, gradually we try to move towards life, towards light, right? And in the process, we accept all our thoughts, emotions for who they are. It doesn't matter whether positive or negative, it doesn't matter, right? For them, for who they are, we accept them, right? It could be negative, it could be positive, it doesn't matter. We simply accept them. In that process of acceptance, you realize the dog disappears, only the tail is remaining, right? Still the dog is there, still those thoughts are there, still those emotions are there, but you are not noticing them so vividly because you have lost interest in them, or they have lost the power that they had on you, right? That's the very idea. Let's say someday the entire dog vanishes with the tail. Now we say that no such thoughts are there. No such emotions are there. That's what we would say. But in reality, they could be still there, but we have stopped noticing them. We have stopped, feeling them, because now no longer we are disturbed by them. No longer they have any power over us, right? So that's the meditator's experience. When we meditate, we feel that our faculties work, but most of them, it's not relevant to us. Only once in a while we are hit with a relevant sound. Only once in a while we are hit with a relevant sight. Only once in a while we are hit with a relevant thought. There could be thousands and thousands of thoughts, but we are noticing them because they are not relevant to us. They have no power over us. They have no control over us. So they just, simply come and go. But once in a while, there's this thought or there's this sound that becomes relevant because they have a certain power, right? That's why out of so many sounds, you hear only one. The meditators will feel that there are thousands and thousands of sounds in the fabric, but they are not relevant. Only once in a while, once in a blue moon, sound becomes relevant. There could be thousands and thousands of thoughts in the fabric, but they are not relevant. Only once in a while, we make these thoughts ours, right? So that's the very process. So even, let's say, in a future day, you might come and say, there are no such thoughts, no such emotions anymore, that you would say. But still, I am trying to argue that they are in the fabric, but no longer relevant or important to you. That's the very process. Thank you for sharing and continue the practice.
Thank you very much, Bhante. So that's all the reports we have got for today. With that, I would like to end the Q&A session and hand over to Sonali again. Sonali.
Thank you, Tarindu. And thank you to everyone who has shared their experiences and sent us reports. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time for questions today. So hopefully, if you have any questions, we will leave it for next week. So it's time to end the session today. And on behalf of the organizers, I would like to warmly thank Venerable Homa Gamadama Kusala Thero for his continued guidance on this program. And of course, we cannot forget Chief Abbot of Nivsaranamania, who initiated this program, Venerable Udiriya Gamadama Jeeva Thero. May these merits help them improve their own practice. And thank you to all the organizers who are behind the scene managing and this program. And thank you and much merits to everyone who participated today and anyone who'd be listening later or live via live stream. As usual, we have our session next week at 1 p.m. Sri Lanka time. And we wish you a happy and mindful week ahead. I will end the session now.